I want to ask you to take your Bible this morning and open it to the 28th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 28, and I want you to find verse 30. I have come to the end of the book of Acts, and I am going to finish it this morning. I'm not going to read one verse and leave one hanging this morning. We'll finish these last two verses of Acts chapter 28. I want to read today verse 30 and verse 31. Would you join me in standing, please, in honor of the reading of the Word of God? And would you have your ears, both your physical ears and your spiritual ears, attuned to what God's Word has to say today? I'm reading from Acts chapter 28 and verse 30. And Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house and received all that came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we have been able to spend some time in this great book. And thank you, Lord, that you have been with us in the journey, and that today that you are here, we've gathered in your name, and your presence is welcome here. And we ask that you'll take these verses, that you'll take this time, and you'll help us to redeem this time, to use it as an opportunity to hear what you have to say and to do what you ask us to do. So, Lord, thank you for your book, and thank you for this history of your church. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. The book of Acts is one of the great books in all the Word of God. It is a recording of the beginning of the history of the church. All the way back in Acts chapter 2, we read about the birth of the church. And then reading all the way through this book, we find how the gospel of Jesus Christ has spread from Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2 all the way to Rome in Acts chapter 28. And those of you who've been with me from the beginning, we have looked at every chapter and we have looked at every verse. I was looking through my files. I began preaching through the book of Acts on February the 17th of 2019. And here today on November the 15th of 2020, we come to the end. 1 year and 9 months of preaching through the book of Acts. 66 sermons through the book of Acts. I was looking at some of those sermons I've preached. I don't know if you'll remember any of these titles. I preached about a lame man at a crippled church. That ring a bell? That story found in the third chapter, I believe it is. I preached a message I called The Kind of Preaching That Will Get You Killed. And that was, I believe, in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen was stoned to death. I preached a message that I called When the Devil Joined the Church. Don't name anyone, all right? It was a story of a man called Simon the Sorcerer. You may recall this one. I preached a sermon I called It Happened on Straight Street, which is a story of the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, placing his faith in Jesus Christ. I preached a message called The Night the Jailhouse Rocked. Kind of borrowed that title a little bit. Then I preached a message called The Man Who Was Known in Hell, when the demons said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? I preached one for me. I called it Keep Calm and Preach On. And then probably one of my favorites through all the book of Acts. I preached a sermon. I simply called it the Sermon by the Sea. And the name, I mean, the title is does not grab your attention, but it's the story of the sermon that Paul preached to Felix and Drusilla in the latter part of chapter 24. So it's been quite a journey going through the book of Acts. We've met men like Peter and John and Stephen and Barnabas and John Paul and, of course, Paul the Apostle. We visited cities like Jerusalem and Antioch and Thessalonica and Corinth, Athens and Ephesus. We've been to sites like the Temple Mount and the house of Simon the Tanner, Mars Hill, the fort of Antonio, and the beautiful Mediterranean Sea. We've seen the gospel go viral as it began there in Jerusalem and went to Judea and Samaria and finally to the uttermost part of the world. So we have come to what I'm calling today the end of the beginning. The book of Acts records the beginning of the church, and we have come to the end of the book of Acts. So we have come to the end of the beginning with two simple verses. We come to the place where the Apostle Paul has finally made it to Rome. And whenever he came to Rome, he arrived as a prisoner. And these last two verses, I said last week, I wanted to allow them to stand on their own because I think there are some things that we need to hear today as we come to the end of the beginning. I want to take a moment and speak to you this morning about the imprisonment of Paul that is found in the first part of verse 30 of my text. The imprisonment of Paul. I want you to notice what the Bible calls the period of his imprisonment. Did you notice the text says that he spent two whole years in prison? That jumps out at me because he didn't just say that Paul spent 2 years in prison. He said that he spent two whole years in prison. That little word translated whole in our English Bible is a word, Greek word, that means two full years. It describes every bit of two whole years. Now that may not strike you as strange, but it does me, and I will tell you why. Because sometimes I have wondered about things that I say and even things that I hear you say. And sometimes in my office on my desk, I have a yellow notepad and I will write down things that grab my attention. And one of the things that, and you'll understand how small my mind is when I tell you this today, things that have sometimes intrigued me, that sometimes we don't talk about something that is new, but we talk about something that is brand new. You ever heard that? You didn't just get a new car, you got a brand new car. And I jotted that down on my notepad, wondering what that means. Or sometimes we'll hear that somebody, he didn't just commit a crime in daylight. What did he do? He committed a crime in broad daylight. You ever hear that? We add that in there. And sometimes whenever we come to the end of something, we didn't just come to the end, but we came to the tail end of something. And so whenever I read in this text of scripture that the Bible said he spent two whole years, it grabbed my attention. Because I thought whenever we say things like that, we do that for emphasis, to try to get somebody to understand the impact of this particular event. So the Bible says he spent two whole years. And it reminds us that the Apostle Paul has actually been a prisoner for a very long time. As a matter of fact, since the very time that he went on the Temple Mount and the Jews were about to kill him, I believe that's found back in Acts chapter 21, that Paul has been a prisoner since that time. And even whenever he was then transported from Jerusalem to Caesarea by the sea, the Bible says he spent 2 years as a prisoner there at Caesarea by the sea. And now he goes to Rome, and he's been in Rome for two whole years, he's been a prisoner. And so sometimes whenever you look at it, you have to come to the conclusion that this man named Paul, this preacher of the gospel, spent more time in prison than he did behind the pulpit. He spent 2 whole years. Not only does it talk about the period of his imprisonment, but it also talks about the place of his imprisonment. The Bible says he was in his own hired house. The word hired there is actually a Greek word which means his rented house. He stayed in his own rented, hired house. Now you may recall that earlier, back in verse 23, the Bible talks about he was in his lodging. And whenever you read what it says in this last chapter of the book of Acts, it seems that the lodging in verse 23 is different from the hired house in verse 30. So he's moved from one place to another. Some Bible scholars believe that whenever he first came to Rome, and the Bible says he was there in his lodging, it was a place that was provided by the Roman government. You may recall that one of the reasons why Paul is still alive to this very day was because he was a Roman citizen. So whenever Paul came to Rome, he stayed in his lodging, and he was chained to a Roman soldier, but he was in his lodging. But now some time has passed, and the Bible says he spent 2 years in his own hired house, his own rented house. So he's moved out of government housing, if you will, and now he's on his own, and he's paying his own rent along the way. And somebody asked the question in one of the commentaries that I was reading, said, now where did Paul get money to pay rent for his own house there in the city of Rome? And I thought, that's a pretty good question. And I began to remember this man named Paul. You may recall Paul was not only a preacher, but he also had a side job, right? The Bible says he was a tent maker. And so perhaps along the way, he had made some money by making tents, and maybe he had stowed some of that away. We also know in the book of Acts that he was a missionary, and as he would go from port to port and city to city and found churches and lead people to Christ, maybe that some of those churches also supported him in his ministry. So maybe that's where he got his money. But then I began to think, well, if that's where Paul got the money to pay for his hired house, probably whenever he had the shipwreck on the island of Melita, now called Malta, he may have lost all of that while he was there. So the question then still remains, well, where did Paul get money to rent his house? And then I go back to Acts chapter 28 and I read verse 10. And I'm reminded that whenever he was leaving Malta, it says this, the people there honored us with many honors. And by the way, that word honor is a word that gives us our English word an honorarium. Sometimes if you pay somebody something, you may give them what we call an honorarium. So the Bible says they honored us with many honors. I'm in chapter 28, verse 10. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. So it may be there as he left that place, as he was getting ready to leave, that the Bible says that they were providing for him. Also, you may recall later on, I'm going to look at this same verse that's in our passage today. The Bible says that there were those who came to see him. He received all that came in unto him. And so whenever people came to his house to visit him, who were undoubtedly believers in Christ who had come to see him, that perhaps they helped provide the way. Oh, I think the bottom line is this. God was taking care of his preacher. God was taking care of his apostle. God was taking care of his missionary. So there he was, there in his own hired house. He had an own hired house, the Bible says, for 2 whole years. And then the last thing I want to say to you about the imprisonment of Paul, and that is the prolonging of his imprisonment. Why was Paul a prisoner for so long? Why was it 2 whole years? We're not told why, but I could hazard some guesses for you today of why it took 2 whole years. One possibility is there may have been a backlog of cases waiting to stand before the Roman Caesar Nero, and there were many that were in front of him, and so the judicial system was running slow, so maybe it took him a period of time. How many of you know that happens sometime in the world that we live in today as well? That sometimes there are many cases and somebody can be going to appear before a judge or a court and it takes a period of time. So that might be part of it. Or it may be that although he had sailed from Caesarea by the sea to Rome, remember there was a shipwreck along the way, and maybe the paperwork that had the case that was against him, maybe that was lost in the shipwreck, and so they had lost some of that, and so they had had to send word back to Jerusalem to get some word about why he was there in the first place. That could be it. Or it could be that they were waiting on those who were going to witness against him who were in Jerusalem, and they waited and they waited and they never came. And so that may have been part of it as well. And you may recall that whenever Paul stood before Festus, one of the reasons why he wanted Agrippa to hear his case was because he said, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to write to Caesar to tell him why Paul is here, and that accusation never came. And somebody has said, well, it may be that it just 24 months, 2 years period, that was the statute of limitations, and there had been no accusations, nobody showed up, there were no papers, and finally, after two whole years, that finally the case may have been completely dropped. There is no real record of why it took two whole years. But I want to point this out to you as well. There is no record that Paul ever complained either. There's nothing in here that caused Paul to say anything about the situation that he was in. And that's a good thing, because this is the same guy who wrote Romans chapter 8, 28 before this event ever happened, when he said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This is the same guy who wrote Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, where he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. This is the same guy who wrote 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, when he said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. And so whenever you read about this guy, he spent two whole years in his own hired house, and yet the Bible says he never complained a bit. I want to tell you this. I've been reading about this man named Paul most all of my life. I've been preaching about this man named Paul through the book of Acts now for a long time, over that year and 9 months period of time. A lot of that has been Paul. I want to say this to you. The more I know about Paul, the more I love Paul, and the more I'm impressed with Paul. What an example he is for all of us. Listen, here's a man who had all kinds of things happen to him, but yet he loved God and he served God in spite of it. I want to say this to you today, and I'll have to move on. I don't know where you are. I don't know what your situation is, but I'm going to tell you, whatever's going on in your life, love God, serve God, be faithful to God. Let this man be an example for you, so that you're going to serve God, whether you're going to work tomorrow or you're going to school tomorrow, or whether you're getting on a ship and you're being deployed tomorrow. Wherever you are, you love him and serve him, whatever the circumstance of your life. It's like somebody said a long time ago, just bloom where you're planted. God planted you in Jacksonville, Florida. It may be today, it may be for a week, it may be for months, it may be years, but this is where God planted you. Don't sit around and moan and groan, thinking, I wish I was somewhere else. Right where you are, love God, serve God while you can. Because there's coming a day when you won't be able to do that. So we see the imprisonment of Paul. I want you to notice the second thing. We also see the influence of Paul. Whenever you read the latter part of verse 30 and the first part of verse 31, it helps us to answer the question, well, what did Paul do for those 2 years while he was in prison there in Rome? Whenever I look at these verses, there are a couple of suggestions that I want to throw out to you of what Paul did. Number one, he was witnessing. Paul was witnessing. Do you see it there in the latter part of verse 30, where the Bible says he received all that came unto him? By the way, that little word received, it's a different word than some of the words that are translated received in your Bible. You may recall that in John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's a different Greek word. But the word that is translated received here, that he received all of them, it is a word that means to welcome. He welcomed everyone that came to his hired house. Now, whenever I think about Paul's house, he probably had one of those little mats right outside the front door, don't you think? It said welcome. Everybody was welcome whenever they came to see the Apostle Paul. And so whenever they would come in, what was Paul doing? The Bible says that he was preaching. The first part there, verse 31, he was preaching. That word preaching is a word which means, it means to herald. It means to announce. It means to proclaim. And so the Bible says he was preaching, which that ought not to surprise us at all, right? Because that has been his method of operation ever since this man got saved. I mean, he was one of those guys, I've said many times, he would preach at the drop of a hat, and he'd drop his own hat if he had to, just so that he could preach. And so he was preaching, the Bible said. That was his method of operation. What was he preaching? The Bible says here he was preaching about the kingdom of God. Look back at verse 23. What was he preaching in verse 23? He was preaching about the kingdom of God. What does that mean? He was talking about the rule of God, the reign of God in a human heart and in a human life. He was preaching about ruling, a ruler. And I think last week that in order for there to be a kingdom, there has to be a king. And of course, Paul knew that the king was the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He was talking about the reign of Jesus Christ in your life. So picture this, if you will. For two whole years, Paul was in his own hired house. People would come to him. He would receive them all. And when they came, he would preach to them about the kingdom of God. Now, don't miss this as well. Paul was a prisoner, and that means he was chained to a Roman soldier. And the Roman soldiers, that guard was changed every 6 hours. So every 6 hours, Paul got another Roman soldier to come and be chained to him. Can you imagine that? Don't you imagine there were soldiers who would go to report to duty and say, oh no, I've got Paul duty today. He's going to preach at me all day long. Don't you know there were some of them, though, that whenever they got saved, they say, hey man, I've got Paul duty today. He's going to talk about Jesus all day long. Listen, your relationship with Jesus makes all the difference in how you perceive preaching. I'll tell you that. And so there was, all the people were coming, and he was preaching, and they would come, and they would go, and he'd preach. He'd come, and he was doing that all the time. That's why John Phillips says in his commentary that Paul's hired house became the headquarters of world evangelism. Think about that. I'm going to tell you this. They could lock him up, but they could not shut him up. And so while he was there, every time they would come, he would talk to them about Christ. It's a visitor, he talked about Christ. A soldier, he would talk to them about Christ. So I think, what did Paul do for those two whole years? Well, he was witnessing, just telling people about Jesus. Let me suggest another thing found in the text here that I think he was doing, the first part of verse 31. Also, the Bible says he was teaching. The word teaching there is a word which means to cause, to learn. Paul was teaching. Paul was actually fulfilling what we oftentimes call the Great Commission. And oftentimes, whenever we think about the Great Commission, we think about the writing of Matthew. And Matthew said in the latter part of his book, chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, that Jesus told his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So whenever people would come into his house, he was not only witnessing to them about the kingdom of God, he was also teaching them the things of God, the truths of God, the word of God. And sometimes, listen to this, sometimes his teaching was verbal, as those who would be sitting there with him, but sometimes his teaching was written. Sometimes whenever Paul was spending those 2 years, he was spending that time writing. Because for those 2 years, Paul wrote letters to churches. He wrote letters to churches where he had traveled. He wrote letters to the believers that were in Ephesus. He wrote letters to the believers that were in Philippi. He wrote a letter to the believers that were in Colossae. He wrote a personal letter to a believer by the name of Philemon. And by the way, if you haven't recognized those, all of those letters are found in your Bible today. So Paul, I'm talking to you right now about the influence of the Apostle Paul. He was not only witnessing, but he was writing, and he wrote what we have in our Bible today, known as Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Philemon. And whenever the great late Warren Wiersbe was writing his commentary about those books, listen to the titles that he gave them. He said Ephesians means be rich. He said Philippians says be joyful. Colossians says be complete. Philemon says be faithful. And so what he was saying was the writings of the Apostle Paul during those two whole years in a Roman prison influenced not only those who were around him, but I'm going to tell you, they're influencing us today. Am I right? They're influencing us today. Who among us in the room today, if you've been a child of God for very long, or you're very faithful to the church, who among us has not been influenced whenever Paul said to the Ephesians, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Paul wrote that during those two whole years in prison. Who among us has not been influenced by Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, where Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Paul wrote that while he was 2 years in prison. Who among us hasn't been influenced by Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, when Paul says, "Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth," because he wrote that in prison in Rome. Or even Philemon, verse 4, don't ask me what chapter, verse 4 says, "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers." He was in prison, but he was influencing the world. What was he doing? He was witnessing, and he was writing. They locked him up, but they didn't shut him up. He kept influencing the world. My friend, you have influence. There are people that you have influence on. And I would suggest to you today that one of the things that we ought to do a better job of is, number one, witnessing, telling other people about Jesus Christ. And number two is writing. People don't write so much anymore with all of our modern technology. But I'm going to tell you, with all the modern technology, I mean, you can get an email, you can get a text message, and you got to get lots of those all day long. But if you get something that somebody has written with their own hand, that gets your attention. There are some people who do a good job of that. I don't. I wish I did, but I don't. And there are some of you sitting in this room or some watching today that you do a good job of that. But that's your influence. You're influencing the world. I would suggest to you today that wherever you have influence, that you use that. You have influence at home. You have influence at work. You have influence at school. Be a witness for Jesus Christ. If Paul can do it in a prison, in his own hired house in Rome, you can do it right where you are. And you may say, "Well, Pastor," maybe somebody watching today by the internet says, "Pastor, I can't get out anymore." Maybe you can write and you can have an influence for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me share one last thing. What we find in these last two verses. We looked at the imprisonment of Paul and the influence of Paul, and this is very similar, but it's not exactly the same. We also want to see the impact of Paul in the latter part of verse 31. The latter part of verse 31 indicates to us that while he was preaching and teaching, he was doing it with all confidence and no man forbidding him. Just one point under that I want to share with you, and that is Paul's liberty. For two whole years, he preached and taught with confidence. It's an interesting word. It is a Greek word which means an openness. It means a frankness. It means a bluntness. Do you understand? Whenever Paul would look at the visitors who came to see him or the Roman soldier who was chained to him, he would be very open and blunt and frank as he preached the gospel and talked about the kingdom of God. I've said this before, and I'll say this, I guess, till the day that I die to the preachers who might be listening today. I'm going to tell you this. You don't survey the crowd and decide what you can say and what you can't say. No, you don't survey the crowd. You just look at the Word of God, and you be open, honest, blunt, frank with the Word of God. And then, as they say, and then just let the chips fall where they fall. And that's what Paul was doing. He was just preaching the Word of God with openness. Notice this. For 2 years, not only did he preach and teach with confidence, the Bible also says he preached and taught with nobody, no man forbidding him. Again, another interesting Greek word that means, is probably best translated, unhindered. He was absolutely unhindered. Hindered him. That is, nobody stopped him from preaching. Nobody hindered him from preaching. All who came to him listened to what he had to say. So you think about the impact. We're coming to the end of Acts. We're coming to the end of the sermon, but don't miss the point, because the Bible says while he's here, he is impacting the world with his witnessing and his writing. And how you might say, well, what kind of impact can a man have when he's living in a rented house, he's chained to a Roman soldier, and he has people to come see him every now and then? What kind of impact could he have? I'm so glad you asked. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Listen to this passage of Scripture. Are you listening? Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. He wrote this while he was in Rome. He said, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me, what thing? I'm a prisoner. I'm in Rome. The things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest, listen to this, in all the palace and in all other places. Hello. He said, the things that have happened to me here, he said that it didn't stop the gospel. Remember, he said it was unhindered. He said it's furthered the gospel. And he said, not only here, but in the palace and all other places. The palace, that's Caesar's palace. Paul was influencing the Roman Caesar. And also, he said, in all other places, that means throughout Rome. I think John Phillips was right, don't you? That little house had become the headquarters for world evangelism. And so he said, it's going out to all of Caesar's palace, all throughout Rome. And if you still don't get it, Philippians chapter 4, verse 22, whenever he comes to the end of the writing, and if you've ever read any of the writings of the Apostle Paul, you know that when he comes to the end, oftentimes it's just kind of somebody said hi, somebody wants to pass along a greeting to you. It's kind of like it happens to us sometimes whenever we see family and they're about to leave. We say, well, when you get there, tell so-and-so I said hello. And when you come to Philippians chapter 4, verse 22, Paul writes these words. He says, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. What does that mean? That means some of those folks who got saved in Paul's hired house were a part of Caesar's household. Now, you see, whenever Paul wrote that to the church at Philippi, I'm going to tell you, that caused shouting in the Philippi, because Philippi was a Roman colony, and it may be some of the believers there in Philippi even knew some of these who worked in Caesar's household, but what they, whenever they heard that, said, listen, somebody's telling you greeting, somebody who got saved who works in Caesar's household. There is nothing that excites the church of the living God like hearing that there are people who are getting saved. And that's what he said there. He said, there are people who are getting saved. So although he was there, had limitations, if you will, the gospel was still at liberty. That's why he said in another place, he said, the gospel is not bound. He said, I'm just impacting the world. I'm influencing the world. Although he's in prison, here's a man who is sharing the gospel and it's going forth and people are getting saved. And so with that little phrase, he was sharing the gospel with confidence, and no man forbidden the book of Acts, it stops. Now, it causes us to have some questions. Inquiring minds want to know. We have questions. And it doesn't answer them. Did Paul ever get to stand before Nero? If he stood before Nero, did Nero say, you're not guilty? Or did he say to him, you are guilty? Was Paul executed there in Rome because of the crimes that he's been accused of? So whenever you come to the end of the book of Acts, it just kind of stops and it doesn't tell us, as Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story. It doesn't come to an end. It doesn't come to a conclusion. So we're left saying, what happened? And the Bible doesn't give us information to answer those kinds of questions. However, there are other historical writings that are tradition, if you will, and so I don't know how much of this would be true or not, but it's probably pretty accurate. So if you want to know the rest of the story, some things we don't know. We don't know if there was ever a letter of accusation that came to Rome. But tradition says that after those 2 whole years that Paul was released from his Roman imprisonment. And it may have been one of the reasons was because the letters of accusation never came. They didn't have any. It may be because that there were never any witnesses from Jerusalem who traveled to say anything about him. Because you remember the Roman law, they believed that if you are accused of a crime, that you have a right to face your accuser face to face. And if nobody ever showed up, then maybe the charges were just dropped. But yet, tradition says that after that 2 whole years in Roman prison that he was set free. Tradition also says that Paul resumed his missionary work. Now you would imagine, right, that if he was set free, that he probably did. That's the Apostle Paul. That's the way he's put together, right? And so there are some who said he continued his missionary work. As a matter of fact, Romans chapter 15, verse 24 says that he went to Spain, and there are some historians who believe that he even went to Great Britain one day. We don't know if that's true or not, but that's what some traditions say. Tradition also says, though, after a period of time, that he was arrested again by the Romans. This time he wasn't put in his lodging. This time he wasn't put in his hired house. This time he was thrown into prison, a real Roman dungeon prison. And all the Bible doesn't say it there, but that's probably where he wrote 2 letters to a young preacher boy by the name of Timothy. He probably wrote 1st and 2nd Timothy, and he probably wrote the book of Titus during that second imprisonment. And whenever you read the last writings of the Apostle Paul, which we believe to be that little book called 2 Timothy, then you have to understand that much of this is probably true. Because when you read the latter part of 2 Timothy in chapter 4, verse 6, you hear Paul saying this. You want to know what happened? Listen carefully. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul was saying, there's coming, I know that the time of my departure is at hand. And history says, tradition says, there came a day and there came a knock at the door of his dungeon. And they opened that door up. And they led him out into the open air. Because he was a Roman citizen, he was not crucified as the Romans would do. He was a Roman citizen. In all probability, one of those Roman soldiers pulled out his sword and severed his head from his body, and the Apostle Paul died. And before you say, oh, that's too bad, hear the Apostle Paul say, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And this great soldier of the cross walked into glory to see face to face the one that he had met on the road to Damascus. And he had given his heart and his life and his all to. And there it was that he was allowed to celebrate there on streets of gold, even to this very day, all the things that God had done through him. Now that's tradition, and we don't know that, but yet whenever you read the Word of God and you come to the end of this chapter, you may think, well, I'm kind of disappointed. There's no real conclusion to the book of Acts, which causes some Bible scholars to say, well, maybe Luke was going to write the sequel. He wrote the Gospel of Luke. He wrote the book of Acts. Maybe he was going to continue the story, which causes some people to say, well, maybe Luke got executed, and maybe he was going to write, but yet he didn't write it. Let me tell you what my opinion is. The reason why there is no conclusion to the book of Acts is because the book of Acts is the end of the beginning. It's the beginning of the church. It's not the ending of the church. And the reason why there's no conclusion to the book of Acts is because there are other chapters that are being written every day. There is an Acts 29, and there is an Acts 30, and there is an Acts 31. And I'm going to tell you this today, that church, that history will continue to be written until the Bible says that the Lord returns with the clouds and with the voice of the archangel and with the shout and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I'm going to tell you, every day there's a new chapter and a new verse being written in the day that we're living in today. Because this is the end of the beginning. The end is not yet. So until that day, our marching orders are the same. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Until that day, our anthem is the same. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into battle. See his banner go. That's our marching orders. That is our answer until the day that we hear the chariots rumble and we see the marching throng and the flurry of God's trumpet spells the end of sin and Rome, and regal robes are now unfolding and heaven's grandstands are all in place and heaven's choir is all assembled. Can you hear them? They're starting to sing Amazing Grace. Why? Because the King is coming. That's what we're waiting on. And until that day, there will not be a final period or an exclamation point written, because the Church of Jesus Christ marches on. Somebody said this a long time ago. I will say to every believer in Christ today, hear this. You are writing a gospel, a chapter every day. In deeds that you do and in words that you say. And people read what you write, whether it's false or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? If you are a believer in Christ, you write a new chapter and a new verse every day. Make sure it's a good chapter and a good verse. And if you would say today, Pastor, I'm not a believer. I've never given my heart to Jesus. You want to add a new chapter? You want to add a new verse? Give your heart to Jesus today. Every time a soul gets saved, that's another verse added to the book of Acts. Every time another person shares the gospel, that's another chapter or verse written in the book of Acts. Every time you decide to be a witness for Jesus Christ, every time you decide to go on a mission field, every time you decide to serve God in some capacity, to do something for the name of Jesus Christ, every time you do that, you're writing another chapter, you're writing another verse. So you could write a chapter today. You say, I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. I want to add my name to that name, that list of folks who've given their hearts to Christ. I want to do that today. And if you've already done that as a believer, you want to write a chapter, you want to write a verse, you just be obedient to whatever he's asking you to do today. And you'll write another chapter and another verse. Because this is the end of the beginning. The end doesn't come until the trumpet sounds.